April 24th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Matthew chapter 21, looking at verses 23 through 32, with part two of last week's message titled, The Authority of the King.
Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. You know how many people believe that? You know how many sinners have believed that? You know how many people today believe that?
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
They all believed it was from heaven. That was the right answer. But they didn't believe him. Why? Well, they said, we can't say it's from men because we fear the people. For they counted John as a prophet. If they believed in Christ, that would mean they'd have to be brought under his authority. If they believed in John's baptism, that would mean, by logical conclusion, since John was preaching him, that they would have to come under his authority. But if they refused that authority, that would mean, now notice this, they lose, notice the issue here, they lose control over the people. Well, there's an authority issue. They lose control over the people. And that's what made them false, right there. Because it was about them. The real issue, what is the real issue we're dealing with? It was the claim of Christ's authority. And who receives it? They won't believe him. But if they say it's false, they lose everything. Do they really? Do they really? Well, they definitely lose their own authority. And isn't that the point? What a moment. If you reject Christ, what authority does it say you're living under? You have choices. You're living under some authority. If you reject the claim of Christ and his authority, what authority are you living under? And the great conclusion that you have to draw, if you reject him, is that you're living under your own authority. You've made yourself the authority. Because, see, the Scripture's great claim is, there is no other name under heaven given by which anyone can be saved. No other name. So they say, we're not going to say. And a lot of people lie in life just like that. They lie. They sit in churches and they lie. They really don't believe, but they never tell anyone. Because the truth of the matter is, they're living under their own authority. And that leads to this important question. Why don't people come to Christ? What kind of authority is this? It's unlike any other authority. See, he leaves people with two options. Jesus claims the authority is his. If we will not believe him, then we have made ourselves the authority. And that ultimately is the problem of pride. And that's exactly of control over people that we see with the religious leaders. They want to run their lives their way. They want to build the authority structures around their laws. They want to build life their way. Think about what happened in Israel. The whole thing became corrupted based on their own authority so that they made their own laws and ruined the whole nation. So there's your options, right? And they see Jesus as the greatest threat to ever come on their knees and believe in the one sent from heaven who is Lord over all. Now, Jesus made claims everywhere. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is an ultimate claim of authority. Remember what Jesus said in John 5? When we wrestled with the heart of issue as to all the testimony of his authority that's everywhere. It's everywhere. Jesus essentially said, just open your eyes and think about it. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me on account of the works themselves. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent John, and he has borne witness to the truth. You sent a John. Now that the testimony that I receive is from man, not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. John, he was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. See, Jesus is essentially saying, many things have borne witness about me, the works, my Father, the Spirit, and my word, but it doesn't abide in you. The reality is, bringing it back today, those who refuse the authority of the one who came, it's not that there's no evidence. And we see the evidence here. This is the remarkable thing about our passage today. We see the evidence in who comes. Who comes? The tax collectors and the sinners. They get it. They see it. They accept it, and they rejoice in it, because this is the name. Now, what is needed is just what Jesus said in the previous verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, it will be done for you. It's faith. Do we believe in the one who was sent to us? Do we understand the authority of the one who was sent to us? And what does that look like? Matthew has helped us the whole way through on this. This is where I had to think, how does Matthew showcase this? And Matthew has helped us the whole way. It's a major theme in the book. The issue of authority came right after the Sermon on the Mount in his ministry. Remember the centurion? Oh, what a great text. Remember the centurion. He comes to Christ, this head of an army, he comes to Christ and he tells him that his servant was home lying paralyzed. Jesus says, well, I'll come and heal him. And the man says, no, that's not what I'm asking. Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. I am under authority with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. It's coming here with the parable in a second. I believe you have all authority over all. So just say the word. Just say the word. I believe you have authority over all sin, sickness, death, everything. So just say the word and he'll be healed. Because I understand authority. I understand authority. I have authority in my position. And Jesus makes the biggest moment of this in Israel. Probably in the Gospel of Matthew. Remember what he said? I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. The This is what I'm after. Isn't it interesting? He makes that kind of statement in relation to his authority. That's the single great issue. What do you believe about him? What does coming under his authority look like? Who gave him that authority? And Matthew has shown us throughout the book that when Jesus spoke, it happened. Follow me. They came. Remember when he forgave the sins of the man in Matthew 9? Remember, son, forgiven are your sins. And all the leaders are standing there and they said, blasphemy. Here's how that passage ended. When the crowd saw that the man who had been forgiven, get up and walk at Jesus' command, they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Whoa. Who gave it? Who recognized it? Following is not something you ever do in your own power. That comes with his authority in your life, that when he summons, you get up and you come. When he calls, you follow. But they wouldn't come. So now Jesus tells a parable to conclude this on this issue of authority. What do you think? A man had two sons. We've already been here in the vineyard parable, hadn't we? He kind of comes back to it. A man had two sons and went to the first and said, son, go work in the vineyard today. Remember the first workers and the latter workers? And the first workers were mad because they didn't receive the same pay at the end as the ones who came in at the end. Well, here we are. We're picked up again with it. What do you think? A man had two sons and he went to the first and he said, go work in the vineyard today. He says, I will not. No. Not going. I mean, that's defiance. But afterward, he repented. He changed his mind and he went. Then he went to the other son, said the same, go work in my vineyard today. He says, sure, I will go. But he didn't go. So he lied. Jesus says, which of the two did the will of his father? Which submitted to that authority? Which honored the authority of the father? They said, well, it can't be the last one because he said he would go and then he didn't go. But it's got to be the first one who at first said he wouldn't go, but he actually repented and then he went. Even though at first he didn't go, he ended up going into the family vineyard and he worked. You ready for the conclusion? It's a big conclusion. It's a shocking conclusion. Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom before you. Whoa. Who's he saying this to? For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Prostitutes believed him. Notice this, and even when you saw that, when you saw all those people believe that and enter, you didn't change your minds after. Still. You feel the effect of that? Today I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes enter before you. Remember Jesus said, parable of the vineyard, the last shall be first. This is the issue this morning of the passage. Jesus came to this earth preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and that message was repent and believe. The first ones represented here said, I'm not going to come. The sons of the kingdom said, "I'll come," but never entered in themselves. And those first ones in this parable who are representative of the whores repented and came under that authority. And the world has seen it. The world has seen it. The world can testify of sinners to this truth. And see, that's the great question the text is pressing upon us today. What's your authority in life? Is it you? These guys stay quiet. After just being pinned to the wall, they stay quiet. They just won't come. Hiding in their hearts that they reject him as the authority. What a tragedy to have the eternal Son of God come to this earth and announce the gospels for sinners. And yet many people refuse to have any authority in their life except themselves and reject an authority like this. And then you stop and you ask, what kind of authority is this? What kind of authority is he exercising for us? See, the great truth coming in Matthew is at the resurrection, the end note of the book is what? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What a claim. Go therefore and preach the gospel. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe what? All that I have commanded. That's authority. I'm the king, says Jesus. And guess who I've come for? You know, if this were an oppressive tyrant, we would all be terrified of such an authority. But the marvel of it is, what kind of authority is he exercising over us? You know? Remember what Jesus said? You know that rulers, Gentile rulers, what do they do when they get authority? They lord it. What am I doing? Well, I thought the Heidelberg's so good on this. Why is he called Christ, the anointed one? Because he's ordained by God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, fully revealing to us the secret purpose and will of God concerning our redemption. You know what this authority wants to exercise and tell you about? All you need to be saved. To be our only high priest, having redeemed us by the one sacrifice of his body and ever interceding for us with the Father. So you're coming under the authority of the one who would lay down his life for you and redeem you and intercede for you and pray for you. And our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit and defends us and sustains us in the redemption that he won. That's the authority you get. It's amazing. But they'll have nothing to do with it because they're their own authority. And I ask that question, are you the only authority in your life? Choosing how you will live and doing what you will do and sinning when you want and turning away from this? Then here, the prostitutes enter the kingdom before you. One day the king will return. He has all authority to judge every thought, word, and deed done against him. He has all authority in heaven and on earth because he's God's eternal Son. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. You know how many people believe that? Do you know how many sinners have believed that? You know how many people today believe that? and still people won't come? Don't be one of those on the last day who Christ says, look at all the prostitutes and sinners who entered the kingdom before you. And yet with this comes a gracious call. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your weary souls. Are you weary? I'll give it to you. Are you burdened by sin? I'll help you. Come to me. My hands are outstretched. I close with this from Mark. The Son of Man has, remember what he said? Son and daughters, your sins are forgiven you. I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. What a wonderful, gracious King who rules us with a gracious, coming under his gracious rule, that he has authority today when you come to him to forgive all your sins. Why would anyone not come? Why would anyone not come to a King like this? Come to him today in faith and enjoy his authority and rule over you, and a gracious reign that will preserve you and keep you till the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us the authority here of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we receive that kingdom and come to the Savior, recognizing, oh Lord, how much we need him. May we be all like the tax collectors and prostitutes, for that's who we are, needing much grace in our lives, needing much help. This is the authority, the name given, all authority in heaven and on earth. We are so thankful for the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ, kingdom without end. And in that confidence, we pray to you today. So thankful for the gracious reign we have come under of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we all come. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning in to us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris as he continues his series in the book of Matthew. Thanks again. Until next time.